Hello, Darling Rage Nation. This is your host, Molly, aka D-Rage, because it just makes sense. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day. I am here with my friend and awesome woman, Alex. She is a branding coach and just all around amazing woman. Hi, Alex.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to talk to you. How about introduce yourself and tell the people what you do?
For sure. As Molly mentioned, I am a branding coach. I help inspired female entrepreneurs dig deep within themselves to use the journey that they have been on to create businesses that mean something that could actually change the world.
Yes. I love it. First of all, you've got your elevator pitch down, girl.
Thanks.
I mean, I'm sure it took you a while to get there.
Oh my goodness. It's been a practice of like just winging it every now and then. And then there's like, oh wait, but that sounded good. So I'll hold on to that. And then I'll say something else. I'm like, wait, no, that sounds good. So
yeah, always workshopping it. Absolutely.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about your journey to becoming a branding coach. Like, what did you go to school for? Was it totally different from branding? And like, how did you get to this place?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, long version. You ready?
Yeah. Ready.
So we're going to take it back. And I mean, back to when I was like a teenager, when you're like first thinking up of like what you want to do, I had zero idea.
Most of us do.
I mean, like I had friends in high school that like knew they wanted to be teachers. They felt really called to do that or like, you know, some other career. And I was just like, I don't know. The only thing that I could think of, and this is so silly, is when I was really little, like 4 years old, when people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would say, I want to be a real estate agent, which is super random.
That's why. I'm so curious. Like, what was your experience with that made you answer that way?
So I was born in Oklahoma. We mm-hmm. moved up to Washington when I was really little, and I would go look at the houses with my parents. And we had this real estate agent that was super kind to me and would like show me around the houses. And she like had this extra badge that she gave me that had like her picture on it and her name, but it was extra. And I thought that it was fabulous that I got to carry that around. And so I would like play pretend, like showing people around my house when they would come over. And so it was just like me playing when I was little, and that just kind of like stuck with me. And I thought, oh my goodness, that'd be such a silly, fun story if like I actually grew up to be the thing that I wanted when I was like four.
Right.
So in high school, I was just like, I'm just going to do that because that would just be fun to have that story.
Yeah.
So I thought for a really long time that was going to happen. And then at right about 18, right before I graduated high school, there were a lot of changes that happened in my life. My parents ended up getting divorced. I actually met my husband and we started dating, and there was just like a lot of stuff going on. I also have suffered from anxiety my entire life. And so with all of those different changes, I like could not go to school. It like freaked me out. I did not want to leave.
Yeah.
And so I decided I was going to take a year off and just, you know, do whatever, find a job. And so I started working at a medical spa and fell in love with all of that stuff. Like I got like laser hair removal and like chemical peels and like all this random stuff.
Oh my goodness.
And so I decided, screw the real estate thing, and I'm going to go and get my esthetician's license. So went to school, did that, loved that while I was in school, but could not bring myself to actually pursue it as a career because I hated working for people. And I had like all of these great ideas about like how I could help other people, you know, with mm-hmm. their skin and with all of these different things. And I just did not want to be working under someone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like the frazzled creative that I am, because we can never stay on one track for long. Mm-hmm. I just totally ditched that after I went to school and had my license and everything. And I ran a bridal shop for a while.
Oh, wow.
And then got burnout really quickly on that. Again, working for someone just totally drains me. And brides in general, I'm an ISFP, so very, very introverted and an empath. So anything that would happen in bridal that would like stress them out, I'd get stressed out. And it was just not a good mix.
Ooh, and that was probably a daily thing.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And brides are generally like on another level of anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. So decided that wasn't for me. And I needed something way low key and something that I could do more so. Like it would be full time, but it wouldn't take up all of my headspace to where I could create something on my own.
Right.
And so I became a nanny. And I loved that. I mean, I say loved. I still actually work for them a couple of hours a week because they've become more like my nephews. And, you know, they all call me Aunt Alex, and it's fabulous. I love it. And so I don't know if I'll ever be able to give up my couple of hours a week with them.
Well, it's like you're helping to raise kiddos, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so in the midst of me doing that, I actually started a blog, and I thought I'm going to go back to the skincare stuff. And I did like makeup tutorials, and I blogged about skincare and, you know, all of that stuff. And again, got really burnt out, and later realized that the part that I was really good at was the dreaming up of the ideas and the creating the pretty stuff to put on my website and
right.
that sort of stuff. But the actual like content creation behind it, I wasn't a huge fan of. And so, you know, to kind of like end my long story here, I ended up helping my stepmom create a website and brand her salon. And okay. that was where it all started. And so from there, I took a whole bunch of online courses and researched a ton and just kind of found my way to where I am now. So it's kind of funny how life can start out one way and twist and turn and go all these different directions. And then you kind of just finally find it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you shared all of those different jobs that you had because mm-hmm. first of all, I'm the exact same way in that, I mean, we're totally different personalities. I'm an ENFP, so way more extroverted, but
yes.
also an empath and super creative and also have that shiny squirrel syndrome thing going on. So
yep.
I mean, I was just actually looking at my resume the other day and I was like, oh my gosh, there's just so much stuff. And for such short periods of time, because it's like that, it's the same way. Like if you're a certain personality, you just like hate working for other people.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. And it was so funny because for a long time, I didn't know about all the different personality types. And when I finally like
right.
found out that there was like this test you could take and it could tell you all of these things about yourself, I like took it and I'm like reading it. Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so me. And two things that really stood out to me was that you do not like to be controlled, or at least I, ISFP does not like to be controlled, which is so true. Mm-hmm. And we're also massive procrastinators. And that is another thing that is rings so true to me. I'm like late everywhere. And so working for other people, that did not mix well.
Right.
So, you know, it's nice that I can like literally roll out of bed in my pajama pants and like get straight to work and I'm not actually late anymore.
Right, because you run your schedule.
Yep, exactly.
There's like so much to be said, and I talk about it on this podcast all the time about like really digging into who you are and gaining that mm-hmm. self-awareness. Like it's a journey of your entire life, but every layer of self-awareness you uncover gives you more of a clue as to like what's not going to work for you and what is yep. going to work, and that allows you to kind of pivot a little bit. So that's awesome that you were able to do that.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel really, really blessed to have a husband that has stood by me through all of the different changes, you know, and that I've just been able to have that space to kind of explore myself in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned earlier when you were talking about your story that you have struggled with anxiety. Tell me more about that and how it's like affected your journey.
Yeah. So it started when I was really little. It started with separation anxiety from my parents. And throughout the years, that's kind of been the majority of what it was just the separation part of it. And then when my parents got divorced, it kind of magnified a little bit.
Right.
Because, you know, there was this massive separation. And, you know, also becoming an adult in that was really hard too, because you're feeling like, why am I so attached to my parents? I'm an adult. I should be independent. And then there's just the change of them getting divorced, which is hard for any kid, whether they have anxiety or not.
Right.
And so, you know, that was something that I don't think I realized in the moment how tough it was. I think that I did a really good job of like sucking it up and being happy for my parents and making sure that they had what they needed through it, because mm-hmm. I was an adult at that point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that I look back on it, I do see that it was pretty rough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, I think it's something that was almost good in a sense to help me see that there is something that can be made out of those hard experiences, that, you know, I can now see that my parents are now who they're supposed to be and that they're better for it and those sorts of things. And that I can use that in my own life to see that every person is different.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like that's a big reason why I have actually gone this route down the brand coaching, because it's helping people understand that their life struggles are purposeful, that it may, you know, be yucky and suck in the moment, but mm-hmm. there's something to be said for all of those hardships that you go through, and that you can then help other people that are maybe in those same areas, and you can create something from them that will light you up in the end because you have a passion behind it.
Yeah. And it's personal, right? Like that's mm-hmm. so good. And I love that you've been able to translate that. First of all, the fact that you just said like that something beautiful can come from these dark times and dark places. Mm-hmm. It's such a theme with all of the women that I've been interviewing, is that everybody has a story to tell of those mm-hmm. struggles. And those are the hardest parts of our lives, but those also end up being like the things from which the most fruit comes, which is really interesting to me.
Absolutely. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you've been able to translate that into greater compassion and empathy for people, and also into your business. And it's interesting, before we, because I do want to ask you more about like how that process works with branding and like really digging mm-hmm. into different women's stories. But you did say something that was interesting to me when you talked about like your experience with anxiety and your parents' divorce and everything. That you said you just tried to like suck it up and make sure that your parents had everything that they needed. Have you like struggled at all with like people pleasing, like I have?
Oh, so much. So much. And you know, going through that space when you're fresh out of high school and you're still trying to figure out life. I mean, we're all still trying to figure out life at every turn. But, you know, especially being in that really vulnerable state of like fresh out of high school, don't know what I'm doing with my life. You know, I had zero clue that you could even decide to do things right. just for yourself.
You have agency, you know, over your own life.
Yeah. Like the fact that you could take ownership of that and decide for yourself that, you know, the situation that I'm in today does not have to be the way that it has to be tomorrow.
Right.
And make those decisions for yourself. So yes, that's been a big, big journey that I've got on myself, learning that that's okay.
Yeah. And it seems like, especially now that you're in a space where it seems like you're doing what you want to do, does it feel like that journey is like progressing? Are you growing in that way?
Exponentially. I feel like there's been a lot of things in my life and in society over the past few years that have fueled that.
Oh yeah.
You know, with everything that's come about with like the movement for women recently, that's mm-hmm. been a big trigger mm-hmm. for it. Then also just, you know, things in my personal life with getting married and, you know, my parents getting remarried themselves and, you know, all of those different things, it's all kind of played into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all on a similar journey in that way. Mm-hmm. But it's fantastic because we're all in it together, basically. So I want to know more about this process of helping other women define their brand, but because I'm really interested in the part where you really dig deep into who they are and like their struggles. How has that been? And what's like the process that you go through with women?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's definitely a long process. One of my packages is 3 months long. The first month being really that like in-depth, dig deep behind who you are and why you want to go into business for yourself and figure out what your passions are. Mm-hmm. And during those first few weeks, really we talk about your personality type and how that can help you and also in ways, you know, disservice you in certain ways in your business and how you can overcome those things. We talk about what your love language is and how that can also help you with your clients or with your customers in your business. So there's a lot of that. Then there's a lot of like actually talking about your life experiences, the good things, the bad things, everything in between, and really trying to figure out what that why is. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you can decide, I want to start a business because I want out of my 9-to-5. I want to be my own boss. That's usually the thing that people say. Mm-hmm. But there has to be something deeper. There's something more passionate behind it that then can fuel you past that first month where it's like butterflies and rainbows, where you're so excited to wake up every day in your PJs and get to work. But then you see the dishes and you see the laundry and you have to pick kids up from school or whatever it ends up being that then distracts you. So what is that thing that can be even more meaningful to you than wanting to work for yourself? And usually that stems from a life experience. And then we kind of tweak that and infuse it into the brand to really make that the focus. So mm-hmm. then your messaging comes across even more.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so I kind of want to dig into that idea of working for yourself and entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. especially as women and like personalities like ours. It's interesting because I think, especially because like the way that the landscape is right now, and it's easier than ever to start your own business or, you know, at least attempt it. and it's like so glamorized. Entrepreneurship is just like, that's the thing that you should be doing, but it doesn't necessarily work for everyone personality wise or actually energy wise, all of these things. And it's kind of put on a pedestal. So what has been your experience with like the dark side of entrepreneurship, like the struggles? Like, it's not all unicorns and rainbows.
No, it's definitely not. You're so right that it is this glamorized thing where people think that you get to drink coffee all day and you just get to like chat with your friends online. And especially if you're creative, it's just seen as, oh, she's doing her art. She's just playing with her paints all day.
Yeah, that's people have said that to me.
And so that's definitely one of the hard parts of it, is definitely trying to find that balance between doing what you love but also trying to explain it to the people that you love. Mm-hmm. And then especially being a woman, it's amplified.
Yeah.
And so, you know, actually, I'm going to kind of like go off track just for a second.
Yeah, go for it.
I had this experience where I was sitting at a coffee shop and I was just minding my own, sitting in the corner, like mm-hmm. the true introvert that I am, working on a blog post. And this boy came up to me. I say boy because he was definitely a teenager. And he started talking to me. You could tell he was trying to be flirty. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to brush him off because I'm busy working. And then he asks what I'm doing. So I tell him that I'm working on my business. And he just looks at me and he says, "You run a business all by yourself? You should hire me so I could help."
Oh, and I have so many feelings about that statement.
Yes. And that was like, it was one of the first moments where I really felt that as an entrepreneur, where not only is somebody like degrading what I do just because I'm sitting in a coffee shop, but also because I'm a woman. It was this man that thought that I could not possibly do it on my own, and I needed to hire him so that it would work.
Oh, good Lord. What did you, yes. did you say anything? What happened?
No, that was something that after the fact, I felt almost shameful of myself that I didn't just like tell him off and like pack up and storm off.
Have a dramatic moment.
Yeah, it was one of those things where he kept badgering me and I was trying to be nice. And finally, my husband called, thank goodness. And so I picked up my phone and I was like, oh yeah, I'm on my way, and packed up my stuff and left. And so afterwards, I'm like, oh, I feel horrible that I even then had to like rely on another man. I had to rely on my husband to get me out of this situation. So it was like a lot of like introspection at that point where I was like, no, you need to stand your ground. You need to do this for yourself. But that right there, I think, is one of the darkest sides of entrepreneurship for sure, is explaining what you do and being confident in it and not letting anybody else tear you down because of it.
Absolutely. And I'm actually really happy that you shared that story, although it gave me goosebumps because I wanted to talk to that kid. But it is really interesting and important for us to continue talking about, because it's 2018. And as women, we are still an ongoing in deeper ways, right? Since like the Me Too movement and everything is like coming to light. It's like we've got all of this feminist stuff, but there's still so much resistance to that. And so much like just kind of not even knowing that there's of these like things that guys have where they assume certain things, you know, which is interesting. It's actually interesting that you say that, because I actually have a similar story that will probably give you goosebumps too, especially because it's like a woman and it just happened today. So I was at the doctor's office, and this woman who's a nurse was asking me all these questions, you know, to make small talk. And she literally said to me, so you work outside of the home? And I was like, yes.
Oh, no.
And I didn't really make a thing of it with her either, because I just honestly didn't have the emotional capacity. But isn't it so interesting that it's 2018 and we're still having those conversations? Like,
yes. Yeah. And I'm actually glad that you brought that up, that it was even from a woman.
Right.
Because I get that all the time. You know, I've gotten statements where it's like, oh, but what about when you want to start a family? Why would you pursue this if you want to start a family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not like we couldn't do both. Right.
Right.
you know, or, but who keeps up the house, or, you know, whatever, all of those things that are just these, and I don't think that even anybody realizes how misogynistic those statements are.
Right.
I don't think that they're ever doing it to be, you know, mean or anything. Yeah. But it's crazy that in itself is almost more crazy to me, that it's this just learned habit to think that way. And there is no second thought to it, that's right. Just how it is.
Well, and that's the thing, is that we have to keep on trying to have these uncomfortable conversations. Right. Cause like you said, it's like, it's so just embedded into the culture and like the contextual norm of the cultural dialogue that it's just like, oh, that's great. Like you're so empowered. Like even in my 9-to-5, like I work with a lot of, I work for a company that like sells a lot of home decor and things like that. And I work with a lot of furniture, and like, I'll be lifting something for someone, and I've had comments where it's like, are you sure you can get that by yourself? And it's like, you know, like it's not with a second thought. It's just like, oh, well, you're a woman.
Yeah.
Bom, bom.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. It's so crazy. But I love that we're having this conversation, because it's bringing it more to the surface of like, the more that we have those conversations and kind of point out, hey, I don't know if you realize, but you just said this and that's not really true. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And being in the online space, you get to meet a lot of fabulous women that are starting their own businesses, and there are so many, and so many that feel so empowered and inspired to do amazing things with their lives and take ownership of it in that way. And through that, I was really interested to kind of find out what those different things were that would be said to women, that were kind of made them feel gross, that were those things that were, you know, seemingly okay on the surface until you really thought about it and you're like, oh wait, but hold on.
Right.
That's a little sexist. So I took to one of the Facebook groups that I was in and I asked a question. I kind of explained what happened with that guy at the coffee shop that day. And I was like, what are gross quotes that you get? What are things that people say to you? And I got so many responses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was from, it ranged from, you know, those random, like, oh, but who's going to keep up the house comments to, you know, all the way, like, these crazy stories about, like, you know, boys that would be hitting on a girl, and when the girl would say something about their business, that then it like turned into this other thing about how like, oh, but if you're not pretty, that you couldn't be the face of your brand.
Whoa.
And like, yeah, just horrible, awful things. And so I actually compiled them all up and I put them in a blog post on my website because it was just so powerful to see all of those different things.
Oh my goodness.
From real people, real women in business that have experienced those things. So, you know, it was crazy to see it.
Yeah. And
firsthand,
I would love to have you send me that link and I can put it in the show notes because that's,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like it's uncomfortable, but then at the same time, really good that we're starting to have these conversations, you know, because it can't be changed until it's brought to the surface. And it's interesting because as women too, we're so like groomed and taught without even thinking about it to be nice and like,
yes,
and make men comfortable. Like we're told and taught that, like, spoken and unspoken. So we always feel like we have to, well, we don't want to like seem like a bitch or like be combative in any way or whatever, because they'll see us this way. And it comes back down to that people pleasing thing where it's like, well, are you really being honest and asserting yourself, or, you know, are you just not saying anything just because like you want to be nice? And how much of that is like self-awareness and how much of that is just like cultural training? You know what I mean?
Right. And that's interesting that you bring that up too, because I don't know where it came from for me, actually, right, that people pleasing mentality, because my mom is very, very strong willed. She speaks her mind and she wants things the way that she wants it. And she did not have a problem telling my dad that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up with that very strong woman mentality. And so I don't know where that came from. It had to have been just society in general.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty steeped in it like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is interesting because even though there's all of these messages of like strong women and feminism, which are amazing, and I love that they're like becoming so much of a thing that's front and center, we're still like steeped in a society where it's like, you know,
yep,
be nice. You can't do this, this, and this because that means that you're bossy. You know,
yeah,
all these things don't that we stir don't the think pot. About. Right. Don't stir the pot. Don't be aggressive. Like, which are all things that are not questioned at all if you're a guy, you know?
No, for sure. And then especially like in the corporate world,
oh my
if
gosh,
you're a woman that's in charge, it is automatically seen as that you're just bossy or bitchy if you say that you did not like something that one of your subordinates had done.
Right.
And it's, I hear those comments from a lot of men in my life that are in the corporate world that, you know, they'll say something about, oh, I don't like my boss and I don't know why they would put a woman in charge. And like those sorts of things that I'm just like, oh, I can't believe you're saying that. Not only because is that just so unbelievably wrong,
right,
but also you're saying that to someone that owns her own business,
right? You realize you're saying this to a woman.
Right. Yeah, like I am the woman in charge at Lady and Company, so
right. Essentially you're talking about a CEO to another CEO.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Oh my goodness. But I'm just so glad that we're having this conversation, that it's continuing, mm-hmm. you know, because that's the only way that things will change. So it's interesting because like other women that I've spoken to have talked about like different catalysts in their life that have caused them to like start doing the things they want to do with their life or whatever. And it's interesting mm-hmm. because the election last year was brought up a lot as like a catalyst moment. And as like awful in so many ways as the climate is right now, it's also like a catalyst in so many ways for so many women to like step up and be sick and tired finally of being quiet and just be like, nope, this is the time, this is the space, we're gonna make it. So you're yeah. gonna listen.
No, exactly. I mean, I will never ever forget waking up and not having a woman president that day.
I know.
It was heart shattering. And it was in that moment where you just feel so like bogged down, so like defeated.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so empowered to change that and show the world that that is not okay. And that's not how it should have ended up.
Right. And that I think that's interesting to like mention and bring to the surface, because there was so much conversation after that, because so many women felt legitimately traumatized by that day, like, mm-hmm. and went into like a depressive state for a while and really mm-hmm. had to go through a grieving process that was absolutely real. And I talked to so many men and women who didn't agree with that and who had that mindset of just like, oh, like, get over it. I don't understand why so many women are so upset about it. But that grief period was so real to so many of us.
Absolutely. Yes, it was. I mean, I am not alone when I say that I cried.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
it was hard. And also, you know, I live in Texas where it is very, very conservative, and that's, that amplifies it. It makes it even harder mm-hmm. to be that kind of a person who is so affected by that. Mm-hmm. And you're just surrounded by that, like, oh, get over it, it'll be fine, don't be a crybaby kind of mentality.
Right.
And so having to like step out of that and still be like, no, but this is how I feel about it.
Yeah.
In that kind of an area, it's definitely tough. But another thing that's really empowering, once you start, it's like you can't stop.
Yep. It's mm-hmm. true. And there is so much to be said too for like, I mean, it's been used to belittle women, but the fact that we think with both sides of our brain is powerful. And the fact that mm-hmm. we are strong and soft and are crazy hard workers and also emotional beings is powerful. And it's so important to recognize that, because I think sometimes with the feminist movement, it can turn into something where we have to like make ourselves look more like men, but our power mm-hmm. is in being women and having emotions. And not that men don't have emotions, I'm not saying that, like everybody has emotions and feelings, that mm-hmm. everyone, that self-awareness is powerful for everybody. But for women, I think it is so important to not just push through, you know, to be like, mm-hmm. you know, I feel this way, I'm owning it, it doesn't mean I'm not strong, but I'm gonna allow myself to go through this grieving process because this hurts.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it definitely did for a lot of us. But yeah, you're right. It was such an empowering moment too. And like, I don't know about you, but I didn't get to march in the first Women's March. I'm going this next Saturday and I'm so excited.
But me too.
Awesome. But like, even just seeing that the last year on TV, like, millions of women. How did that make you feel?
Oh my goodness. I was honestly speechless.
Yep.
It took me a while because I didn't end up going. And I really regret that I didn't just make it happen.
Right.
To say that I was able to be a part of that. And that's why I'm making sure that this year that I go.
Mm-hmm.
But just watching how many women and supporters of women there are in the world was inspiring. I mean, literally, like, my goosebumps did not cease the entire day.
I know.
And it was amazing too that it was all around the world. There were so many people in other countries that were there to support what we started
mm-hmm.
here in the United States because of where we were at.
Yeah.
And so I love that it's really the most powerful thing when we all come together. And I mean, it was all over the news. It was all anybody talked about for days. Whether it was good or bad, at least people were talking about it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was honestly one of the proudest moments I've ever had as a woman.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my daughter was 4 at the time, and I remember showing her on TV, like, what was going on. And because honestly, in that situation, like, with me too, I live in New York, in upstate New York, though, where there's a lot of conservatives. So, you know, there's a lot of that kind of opinion of like, I don't even understand what they're marching for. And all of that. So there was a lot of resistance around us. But I remember having that conversation with my daughter, and it was just so beautiful because her eyes were just glued to the screen. And she was just like, there are so many. And it was just one of those moments of like, yep, and that's part of your legacy. Like, I hope she never forgets that, you know? Like,
oh, me too. That's amazing. And that makes me so happy for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that you got to experience that with her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping, you know, it'll be the same this upcoming Saturday. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. I'm pumped.
Yeah, so awesome. Go women. We're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Hell yes. So I'm feeling like so energized from this conversation. I'm so excited that we got to talk. Before we wrap it up, I do want to ask you, because I've been asking everyone, what's your favorite song right now that you can leave us with?
Oh my goodness. You are asking the wrong girl. I don't have favorite songs.
Okay.
And my husband gets so mad because he's like the one that plays with the radio when we're in the car.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, do you know this song? And I'm like, I don't know, because I listen to podcasts all the time.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's not bad. So I guess but, you can give us a favorite podcast if you don't have a song, but I mean,
sure, yeah. Sure. I mean, this one's pretty rad, Molly.
Okay.
So we're going to put you up there with, the Strategy Hour.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the Strategy Hour is pretty fantastic. I'm actually going to interview Abby and Emily separately on this podcast. So I'm really excited. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Think Creative Collective puts out a podcast called The Strategy Hour. It's been going for a year now, and it's pretty awesome. But they are those co-founder ladies who are amazing, will be on this podcast series in the next couple of weeks. So,
oh, can't wait.
Yeah. So it'll be good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Alex. It's been a blast.
Yes. Thank you so, so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you as well, babe.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Wasn't that episode so good? Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are enjoying the Rad as Fuck Women series on this Darling Rage Nation podcast, I would love for you to leave some love on an iTunes review. That just helps the podcast get out there to more people and in front of more listeners and gain more momentum. So if you've been enjoying this, if you've been getting anything from this series, I would love for you to leave a review. Another way that you can help the podcast is by joining our Patreon insiders by going to patreon.com/darlingrageinsiders. There you can get all kinds of bonus content and even access to a secret Facebook group where I will be sharing interviews and a chance for you to get interviewed on the podcast yourself. So if that's something that you're interested in, patreon.com/darlingragenation. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. You guys are freaking incredible. Have a fantastic day. And as always, rage on, darlings.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.